This is the Apple This Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Apple Viz Extra. This is number 65. We're recording on March 25th, 2019. We have just watched Apple's March 25 event, service-oriented, but it's been a very busy week, actually, in Apple. There's been hardware as well earlier in the week, followed by this event. So loads to talk about on this Extra today. I am joined by three wonderful guests, as usual. First, from the AppleViz editorial team, once again, I have Scott Davert on the road and has managed to make it for us. So thank you so much for joining us, Scott. How are you?
Doing good. It's nice and warm down here in Florida, so I'm liking it. My fourth state I've recorded an Extra in, so that's kind of fun too.
So what's your target by the end of the year?
Well, I'd like to get all 50, but I don't think my Apple credit card will support that. So maybe we'll go with trying to get one more.
Very good. And thanks for making it. It was a busy day for you. And we're also joined by AppleViz team member Tyler Stephen. How are you, Tyler?
I'm good.
Having a good week?
Yep.
Cool, cool. And delighted.
Maine, so it's, you know, first spring, 40s-ish, which is warm for us, sort of. Yeah.
Good stuff. We're getting into
it. Tyler, be glad, Tyler, you're not in any other part of the world. 40 degrees Celsius is rather toasty.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what 40 means. So
40 Fahrenheit.
104. Yeah. 104 Fahrenheit is 40 Celsius.
Ooh.
That would be
Yeah. See, in the States, it's predominantly Fahrenheit. Yeah.
Oh, right, no, yeah.
I guess internationally, that's true. Internationally, it's primarily Celsius, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I am delighted that we are also joined by our first Club AppleViz member to join the podcast. So for anyone who doesn't know, we have a thing called the Club AppleViz, which is where our lovely community members choose to donate a few dollars, a few euros, a few pounds, whatever it may be, to keep the lights on at AppleViz, to keep the servers running. And as a perk for doing that, as a thank you for doing that, we have invited a Club AppleViz member to join us on the podcast today. And that is Mr. Tate Luck. How are you, Tate?
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you very much. And it's really nice here in Florida, too. I discovered a few hours north of Tom. I mean, of Scott, sorry. Of Scott.
Very cool, very cool. Well,
and it's nice and warm here too, with a nice breeze.
I'm in a relatively warm Ireland where it's about 16 degrees Celsius or maybe a little bit less today. But that's about the peak it'll ever get to in March. So, you know, we're happy. The winter seems to be over, I hope.
We all hope, I think.
Yeah. So we had a busy week, as I said. Starting last Monday, Apple started making hardware announcements out of the blue a little bit through press releases, and then it all culminated in the live event today, which was all about services. So we'll start with a little rundown of what they are. So we had the, as well as the event today, then we had the TV service, the news service, gaming service, and some Apple Pay stuff. We also had last week then through the press releases, AirPods, a new set of AirPods released with wireless charging. We had new iPad Air, a new iPad Mini. We had speed bumps for the iMac as well. And very excitingly, of course, we had new iPhone cases and Apple Watch bands as well. So lots to get excited about. We start with AirPods. Tate, do you have a pair of AirPods?
No, I do not. That's the one thing I have not bought yet.
And is
they,
it on?
They like something I would like to have, but I just haven't. Yeah, you know, that's $160. So.
Do you think you'd be tempted now that the second generation are out?
No.
No?
I honestly, I'm afraid of losing them. There's so many little pieces, and I like to wire things for the most part so I can keep up with it. Or if I buy wireless, it's like $25. So if I lose it, who cares?
Fair enough. Scott, I can't remember if you have a pair.
Well, the AirPods, I have hearing aids. Those are a very expensive pair of AirPods.
Yes.
So I'll be wireless. Sticking with those. They were about $3,500 a piece, and insurance didn't cover anything. So guess who gets to pick up the bill?
Well, yeah, they're probably more important than AirPods, I think it's fair to say. Tyler, I don't think you do either, do you?
No, I don't have AirPods.
Any interest?
No, I'm in a similar situation as Scott, where I have hearing aids, and I have a streamer that connects via Bluetooth to my iPhone and to my Mac, and I have those on throughout the day. So any audio feedback is through those, so I haven't really found a use for them.
That's fair, yeah. I have to say I love them. I got them when they first released a couple of years back. They're one of my favorite Apple products of the last few years, actually. Tate, I can share what you're concerned about losing them, but you know, up to now I haven't.
Okay.
To knock on some wood there, but I've come close a couple of times. They've where a collar of my jacket or something has knocked it out while I'm, you know, standing on the bus or something, but I've always managed. But even that's only happened a couple of times. They actually, maybe I'm lucky, they fit in my ear very, very well.
Like the way, like, the ones that come with the phone, like the regular ear pods. I actually like those. I like the way they sound for the most part.
Yeah.
And they're comfortable. I just never thought about using the wireless, but I like the wireless charging idea. I think that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. You have an XR, don't you, on the phone side? So you're probably using the wireless charging for that already.
Yes, I actually have several pads I've picked up, like Anker and a few other brands. And I haven't really found one that I love yet. But honestly, the $5 one I got at Walmart works better than the ones I paid $25 for, it seems like. They seem to charge faster. Don't ask me why. It's a no-name brand, but who cares?
Hey, as long as it works.
If it works, do it, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I think the wireless charging is fantastic. Recently I got a Belkin one that has the watch. And there's the watch and the phone.
I need to get one of those for my wife. She has the watch, the fourth generation, and also the iPhone. I like to get a combo for her. I think that'd be kind of cool.
But I got to say, the new AirPods, like they sound, you know, they've talked about a new H1 chip replacing the W1 chip. They have Hey Siri. Sorry if I've set anyone's devices off there. without having to tap on the AirPods anymore, which means you could use, if you were using a double tap for Siri on one of your AirPods now, you can, you know, use that for something else like play pause, because you got Siri just by speaking. So I think that's definitely an improvement. They claim
that what it stands for?
Having a clue.
Well, okay. Let me put it to you this way. Under my current circumstances, I wouldn't get the AirPods. Now, if these had come out 10 years ago when I still had the hearing to utilize them, I might have been interested in the new ones, not the first generation, but, you know, with the added functionality. Mm. I know battery life was a real complaint by a lot of people. You know, now it's kind of like the Apple Watch, you know, where you had the zero generation, which was the first one I had, and you jump from a zero to a four, and it's like, you know, night and day. I might, under different circumstances, be interested in the AirPods.
Yeah, I think they're great. But yeah, like these, it's not a huge update, I'd say. You know what I mean? Like they say it's a new chip and it gives better, as well as the Siri, which is good. They say it has slightly less latency for gaming, which is what I read, but hopefully that will translate to voiceover as well. I don't find the latency too bad, except when typing on the on-screen keyboard. That's the main time I would find the latency a bit irritating. Anyway, so if that could be improved, that would be great. And they say kind of a little bit better talk time as well, battery wise. So it's not a massive upgrade probably in terms of the AirPods themselves, but that I wouldn't have upgraded just for that personally, but because the battery has gone quite bad in my existing ones, I've decided it is worth the upgrade. And then that charging case, you've got three options now. You can buy just the charging case on its own, and use it with your first generation AirPods, or you can buy the new AirPods with a non-wireless, you know, with the original case, plug-in case, lightning case, or you can buy the combo of the new AirPods with the new wireless charging case. So you've got...
I mean, the better deal is the combo. It's $99 if you buy the wireless charger separate, like $79 by itself. So exactly. It's kind of a better deal, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And especially if like you're already on the wireless charging bandwagon, I suppose, and you got a an iPhone 8 or higher that you're using wireless charging for already, I think the wireless case will be really handy. Hopefully they'll be as good as Apple are saying in terms of the improvements as well, but I think they're a really good buy. iPads, have we got any iPad owners here?
And I have the 6 that I got from my wife for Christmas, 128 version, and she likes it a lot. I mean, to me, iPads are just too much real estate for me to mess with. I mean, the Mini probably like a little better. We'll get that in a minute. But she likes it a lot. It seems to be a lot faster. She said the quality of the visuals are really popping. So looks totally different than her. She used to have an iPad Air 4. Okay. So it's a nice jump up for her. And she loves the pen, the whole pencil thing. I think that's really cool.
It's the sixth one that was out last, that they released this time last year.
Right.
Yeah.
And now they got the 10.5 Air. Which yes. I still think is kind of odd the way they're doing that, but okay.
So the new lineup, I guess, is leaving Mini aside for a second, which I'll come back to. You've got iPad, which is last year's model, which you can still buy, which is a 9.7-inch screen. It has Logitech Crayon support and all that kind of stuff from last year, and it's an A10 processor. Then you have the iPad Air, which is this new one, which is A12 Bionic processor, the same processor as the XR and the SS iPhones from this year. And again, it actually has the Logitech Crayon support, but it also the first generation Apple Pencil as well will support it. And
but you can't use the second generation Apple Pencil on it, right?
No, that only works on the Pro. So then above that, you've got the iPad Pro. So you kind of a top, a middle, and an entry level.
You know? Wow. Okay.
So the
it's not confusing enough yet.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think they used to have the older iPad when they introduced the newest iPad Pro. They had the older iPad Pro for sale, and then they up until recently, and then they discontinued that in favor of the 10.5-inch iPad Air is sort of the replacement-ish model.
Ish. Yeah. I think it does kind of line up okay, because like I know my mom is actually in the process of buying a new iPad right now. Her old one died. And she said she doesn't want this new one. Like for us, it's $499. For us, it's €579 over here. And she said, that's just too much. So I'll buy last year's one for €369, which I think is $299 in the States. So it's, it is.
My wife's very happy with the 6. She likes it a lot. It's snappy. It does everything she wants to do. When she watches movies on it, she's pleased. And then, she has her earbuds and she works fine with it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think your mom would be very pleased.
I think it's quite a good it's a good price point, so I think it makes sense for them to leave that in the lineup, especially considering that they put quite a lot of power into this new iPad Air, meaning it was at a higher price point, you know. So and then.
But your mom noticed the difference between a 10 and a 12. The chip. I don't think your mom would notice that much.
No, not in a minute.
And you and I probably care, but your mom cares less.
Yeah, exactly. Even though I think if you're gaming or you're doing drawing and things like that, maybe you would. But I think for Netflix and YouTube and things like that I'm using an iPad for, I suspect not. Because I'm using the 9.7-inch iPad Pro at the moment, the first small iPad Pro, I suppose, which is probably an A10 as well, and it's still flies. So, so that starts at $499 for 64 gigabytes and then goes up from there. So it's, and then we have the iPad Mini as well, which starting at $399. Which again, it's 7.9 inches. It's the same kind of size as the previous iPad Mini, but just massively improved in terms of the A12 Bionic chip again, a much crisper, better screen by all accounts as well. Again, it has that pencil support, first generation pencil support.
I was really surprised they kept they didn't go to Face ID on any of the new ones. They kept fingerprint. I was really surprised about that because they've been pushing the Face ID pretty hard for the last year.
Well, I think the reason for that is they just, that's your bottom of the barrel iPad, right? That's kind of how they're seeing it, I think. So, they're not going to put all the features on it because then you're going to have people that are going to be like, well, why would I want to get an iPad Pro for that kind of money if I don't need the screen space? As for me, the iPad Mini is kind of an interesting entry that I'm glad about because it doesn't look like I'm going to get the iPod I wanted. although the week's not out yet.
That's true.
It is possible.
You and the 20 other people who are waiting for it.
What's that?
You and the 20 other people who are waiting for it.
Yeah. Well, maybe that many. the iPod 6 is not going to be compatible, apparently, moving forward. So if I'm going to beta test, I don't want to spend necessarily $800, $900 on a new iPhone. I may have to go the iPad Mini route, which I'm not thrilled about, but whatever. It is what it is. It's like everything in the Apple atmosphere now. Really, nobody knows what's going on. And by the way, did you guys realize we've talked about this hardware more than Apple themselves have already?
Yeah, I was thinking about that today when I was watching the event. was like, you know, I thought they would at least run a video like at the beginning saying, hey, here's all the new hardware, blah, 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 blah. They did none of that.
I think they had got all that out of the way last week to get all the press attention on the services this week.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, I think there are other things coming. Like, they also announced last week that there were updates to the iWork suite, you know, Keynote numbers and pages. So that should be coming sometime this week.
Very possibly, yeah. There could be more. So yeah, that iPad Touch 6 is definitely out of date. So that's one thing.
Which brings another question to mind, and that is, is Apple trying to redefine themselves, not as, you know, only the company who does hardware releases and not software? Or have they not really found their sweet spot, and are they just sort of going with whatever works at the time?
No, I think they're redefining themselves. I think you're right, the first thing you said, because think about the services, and that's easy money for them. Think about the Apple Pay announcements that we'll talk about probably here in a little bit, but you know, they want a part of every transaction that happens. I mean, think about 10 million or, you know, 1 billion pennies. That's quite a bit of change.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is too, it keeps it unpredictable, right? You know, we've fallen into this holding pattern the last several years. Okay, WWDC, they're going to announce software. And then they broke that pattern by throwing in some hardware. Now we've got events for streaming services and things like that, and then they're quieter on the hardware. So, I mean, it could sort of fit in with the unpredictability angle, I suppose. But I do agree with you. It's more the first thing I mentioned than the second.
Yeah, I agree as well. I think the only thing is, I mean, there's been lots of rumors floating around for the last couple of months. I think the only things that we haven't seen yet at time of recording, who knows by the time people are listening to this, but there's the iPod Touch and AirPower. We don't know. And we dare not talk about AirPower again. So we'll see it if we see it.
Yeah. That's all I'll say.
We're all waiting for a breath.
I don't even want one, to be honest. So I think we can safely move on to the event today, which Tim Cook very much set the scene right from the start and said, this is about services. And speaking to what you just said, Scott, this is Apple kind of redefining themselves, that they know that they can't rely simply on those hardware upgrades. People aren't upgrading their phones every year as much as they used to. People are getting longer out of phones, out of tablets. So they need to start generating revenue from services. They spoke about a lot of the stuff they do at the start, like iCloud and stuff that they do like that, that are free, essentially, services, as they would put it, on their devices. But today was about a handful of new services to definitely generate subscriptions. And I think, like the whole software industry, if you think of things like Adobe and these kind of companies, a lot of them have moved, Microsoft as well, they've moved towards subscription services to get that kind of ongoing income. And that's where Apple seemed to be going as well, because pretty much everything they released talked about today was subscription-based as well. So they started with Apple News and Apple News Plus. I'm in Ireland, where we don't get the Apple News app, so I might have to ask you guys, Tyler, do you use the Apple News app, and is it any good as it is now before we get to the Plus?
I do. I use it occasionally to get a sense of, I can get a variety of top stories and trending stories.
Cool. Scott, are you a news junkie, and is Apple News your choice?
I am a news junkie, but I don't use Apple News because, I like to read my stories straight through. I don't want to have to jump up to the top and read it again, you know, as a voiceover user.
Is that a bug?
That's a problem, right? I hope they fix it in the new premium subscription, but I have in the past used Google News and NFB Newsline, which creates an interesting situation that we can talk about a little bit more as we get into this. As a blind user, NFB Newsline versus Apple News Plus, is it worth it?
Yeah, true enough. Well, yeah, I do use Google News because it actually is available where I live. And I think it's a great app. I know there are privacy concerns around Google, and you kind of have to be willing to accept that they're tracking everything that you read and all that kind of stuff. But it is a really good app, and it's a very accessible app as well.
I've used the Apple News app. I tried to use it for about a week. I wanted to see if I really would like it. And I liked it for the most part. I think the problem I kept having, because it says it's supposed to, like, you know, things you're clicking on, it's supposed to help you pick the next thing to read. But it kept picking things that are totally opposite to when I was reading, which got on my nerves after a while. And I'm like, hey, this is not being very intuitive.
Okay.
That fits in with them not being predictable, you see.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. Like, I really don't want to read about how to build a, you know, 1965 Mustang. I was reading nothing that close to came in close to that. That's what I don't understand.
Well, I'll go through a couple of the highlights, and Scott, maybe you can speak to how it compares to what you would get with NFB Newsline if you're in the States. So they say they will have 300 magazines. He said 3,000 and then quickly retracted that and said 300
magazines. Hey, 10% of it.
Yeah. across every genre you could think of, I guess, from sports, fashion, you know, whatever it is you're into, magazine-wise. Newspapers as well. They don't seem to have too many of the big-name newspapers. So they mentioned Wall Street Journal, LA Times, and in Canada, The Star, I believe. But there was no...
Star, yeah.
Is it? Yeah. And that there was no Washington Post, New York Times, no Guardian from the UK, you know, no Financial Times. So, like, maybe they're struggling to get those guys on board, and maybe they will get them on board over time. Hopefully they will. $9.99 a month. Is that worth it? Or is, how does NFB Newsline work? Is that paid as well?
It's free.
It's free. Okay.
Well, the price difference is better.
The price difference is quite important there.
That's my favorite price. Well, see, the thing is, okay, so they have some of these publications. They don't have all of them on NFB Newsline. But what you have to remember, as far as I understand Newsline, is a lot of that stuff comes from, you know, just pulling from the web whatever the resource has available. My guess is that Apple News is going to, you know, pull exclusive content that isn't available on their website or whatever. It's going to be, you know, something that they themselves control, which, by the way, is probably why you don't see the New York Times on there. They have their own subscription base already. Mm-hmm. In fact, they've had the digital subscriptions on New York Times for, I would say, at least 6-7 years now. So,
but see, Wall Street Journal has that also. And Wall Street Journal has the same. Yeah, they have the same. I think it's like $39 a month just for Wall Street Journal digital.
Wow.
I mean, so you're getting a heck of a deal if you go $9.95 and you still get
it. You're getting everything.
That's true. But how accessible is it, too, is my question.
I have no clue.
As beta users, we didn't get access. So,
yeah, you
know, our guess is as good as anybody's.
So I guess Newsline is something like Google News in a sense. It's just pulling in web content, is it? Whereas this, no, like you say, is more of a...
What you have is it's mostly focused on newspapers, not magazines.
Yeah, which would be true of Google News as well.
And you can pick any, it's not, you know, it's not kind of an aggregator. It doesn't actually select content in the way Apple News does, even in the past. What it is you just have access to the papers that you want to read.
Gotcha.
And you can add them.
Is New York Times one of them? Can you get New York Times or Washington Post on that?
Yeah, I think it's Washington Post Online.
Okay, interesting. Okay, yeah, I'll check it out. I've never checked it out, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's free. Unfortunately, it's only available in the U.S. So sorry, Dave. but for those it is available for, I mean, it's a great resource. And not only do you have access to the text, but you also have, you know, text to speech generated audio files you can do. There's a lot of you know, unique things that a blind person can appreciate.
Of course, it's specific. It's not just an accessible app; it's a specifically designed app.
So. Yes, and you can even. Man, this is turning into an NFB Newsline commercial. I'm sorry.
Compared to things we know. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a good parallel for people who are blind in the U.S. You can even have newspapers emailed to you in DAISY format every day. Like, I get the USA Today newspaper emailed to me every day. I'm not restricted to any kind of specific device. I mean, I can read it on my computer, on my phone. You know, like I said, you can generate audio files, so... as a blind person or a deafblind person, I don't know that Apple News is going to be, you know, unless you're one of these people that likes to kind of read random things and enjoys curated content, it might not be for you.
I think where its probably strength might lie will be in magazines
Definitely.
Rather than in newspapers at launch anyway. Who knows how it'll develop over time, but at launch it looks like the emphasis is more on magazines. It says it has free family share, well, not free family sharing, but family sharing at no extra cost, which is a nice little bonus.
I got more bad news for you, or more bad news for Apple. If you're somebody who likes audio or Braille magazines in the U.S., we have the National Library Service for the Blind. Braille audio and reading downloads page, which gives you some of that content as well. You know, the difference here, I think, is that you're going to be able to get real-time dynamic content that you don't necessarily get on the magazine or newspaper through some of these other services. You know, so you have that too. You know, a lot of these magazines are available through the National Library Services for the Blind. I think CNIB in Canada has some similar content. So it's an interesting time for blind and deafblind readers, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's launching today as well, by the way. It's the one thing that they announced today that's actually available straight away. So iOS 12.2 launches today. And if you download that, you can straight away subscribe to Apple News and you get 1 month free trial, I believe. So if you do want to check it out,
that's correct.
You know, it's worth doing. It's US and Canada launch. They said it will come to Australia, UK, and the rest of Europe later in the year. So we'll see how that develops. I have to say, for me, this was probably the more underwhelming announcement. How whelmed were you, Tate?
I was very underwhelmed. I was actually trying to finish up my grocery list on Instacart during that time. So, no, actually, I did listen to it very carefully because I think the concept they're trying to do is good. And I think you're right. The Apple News Plus is mainly for magazines. If you're into like People, Vogue, and all the other New Yorker and all the other big magazines, you're really into that stuff, you might have accessibility for the first time for some of the magazines that aren't available.
True.
With 300, there's got to be a few that aren't normally available. But again, until we test it, we download it, play with it, don't know what the accessibility is going to be for it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Apple kept it in mind. I mean, they're pretty good about that, but still.
Yeah. And do you think outside of our community, do you think it's going to be a success?
Another thing, too, about a lot of the magazines that are offered in the U.S., there are a lot of them, you know, People, I know, is one of them, Atlantic Monthly.
Yeah, it's another one.
I can't remember. There's several of them that are available in audio format. If you're somebody who prefers text, who can't listen to the audio content, if they made it usable with a Braille display and voiceover, you know, you're in luck now. You know, you do have a lot more possible access, assuming it's accessible. And, well, considering they haven't really fixed a whole lot of issues in iOS 12.2, I'm not necessarily willing to say it is.
Yeah, those Braille bugs are still knocking around, unfortunately.
I think it'll be somewhat successful for the people who really are into that, because if you travel, you can download your favorite magazines on the fly if you're, you know, sighted, if you want to read on the plane, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I think the Mini would fit that perfectly. It's small, it's easy to carry around, and I think it'll meet somebody's needs. But now, do they want to pay $10 a month for it? I don't know. That's a good question, because if anybody remembers, Apple actually bought Texture. And that's pretty much this is what this is a rebranding of that. But the good news that I did hear is that with Texture, the difference was that the provider took care of the whole interface. But now Apple's doing it with the new version, which should make it more consistent and hopefully voiceover friendly.
That should, yeah. There'll be no excuse. I think it's fair to say.
Well, and the other argument I guess you could make is iOS 12.2 still has a lot of the bugs it has because they've been working on Apple News Plus, and I hope they have. I really do.
Yeah, here's hoping. So that's Apple News Plus. I suspect none of the four of us are likely to subscribe, but who knows in the future, depending on how the content grows and how good an app it is.
I just miss reading Vogue. That's all I gotta say.
I knew it. I'm just going to try it to see how accessible it is. You know, you do get the 30-day free trial.
Yeah.
And I'll see where it goes.
I will too.
Yeah, why not? And I'm just, obviously interested when it does come to Europe, how kind of local it becomes, you know what I mean? So will I be able to get our own local newspapers and so on through it? If we can, then, you know, it could well be worthwhile. Again, that, like you were saying with the Wall Street Journal, that subscribing to this could be better value than the direct subscription. So I may well look at it if the right content is in there. They moved on then to talk about Apple Pay. This is the one that kind of surprised me a little, although I had read the rumors about this credit card, but I didn't necessarily expect to see it today. They talked first a bit about just the expansion generally of Apple Pay. I have to say, I love Apple Pay. I think I use it a lot.
I do too. Use it all the time. Prefer it, actually.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I love Apple Pay.
And they said, yeah, it's going to be in 40 countries by the end of this year. For some US cities, I don't know if you guys are in any of the cities, but it's going to be on transit as well. So your subways and things like that in some cities will be able to use it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I, as somebody who still frequents New York and, you know, some of the other cities where you have to have Metro cards, kind of a pain, you know. If I didn't have to do that anymore, that would be great. Same with the card, which we'll get into next, I guess.
Yeah. So the big announcement really was this partnership with Goldman Sachs and MasterCard to release an Apple credit card, simply called, I believe it's called Apple Card.
I thought it'd be called Google Card. Are you sure?
So
I'm surprised they didn't call it Apple Pay. I really am.
Apple Pay Card or Apple Credit Card. No, just Apple Card.
Apple Life.
The three kind of the headlines for it were about, like I said, some simplicity, transparency, and privacy. So they talked a lot about, and again, through the whole thing, I think, I don't know if you guys noticed the amount of mentions of privacy and not tracking your data. Even in the news thing, we didn't really mention it there, but they talked a lot about not having ad tracking and things like that. So that's security was a big part of this as well. No fees at all, they say. Scott mentioned that at the top of the show. So we have no late fees or anything like that. They claim to have lower interest rates, or at least among the lowest interest rates in the market. And cashback rewards. So rather than a point system, it seems to be simply 2% of every transaction, or 3% if you're buying from Apple, you get back in money.
And that's daily, by the way.
And that's every day. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's wild. That was kind of a cool twist.
Called daily cash.
Yeah. Well, and it's cool too, because, you know, there's no international fees. I can tell you from traveling to Europe, the fees are, can be, you know, $5 a transaction sometimes, even more when you start factoring in, you know, depending on what bank you have, you know, you're looking at sometimes even close to $10 in international fees. So if you're somebody who does a lot of traveling around the world, assuming you're going to places where there's a lot of Apple Pay anyway, you have a much nicer solution possibly, you know, because you don't have to worry about all those transaction fees. They add up quick, let me tell you.
They do. I think, yeah, that's really cool. And they said, yeah, it will work anywhere where Apple Pay works. And I know Apple Pay is growing, and you said, I think they said it's at 70% in the US now that it's accepted at 70% of outlets. I know here in Europe it's higher. I think basically anywhere where you have, we have contactless almost everywhere in Europe, and anywhere you have contactless, Apple Pay is accepted essentially. Australia is 99%.
That I've ever had with Apple Pay is that places that had it at first, like for example Home Depot, don't have it anymore.
Really?
Or at least not working right there. Every time you ask the person at the, you know, the counter, they're like, well, it did work, but it's not working now. I'm like, okay, that's great. You know, that makes me kind of sad to hear.
Do you ever go on like the Apple Pay website? There is a way, I don't know how directly effective it is, but there's a way to report businesses that you have trouble with Apple Pay. Like I've had businesses like for a while there was a McDonald's restaurant close to where I'm at, and it didn't accept Apple Pay, and then I went on this thing and it was a couple weeks later, and then it started working again. Ever used that?
Do you think it might be the individual store, or not the big company? Like, because Home Depot is a pretty big company.
So I'm talking about the individual store. If it says Apple, it accepts Apple Pay, but the NFC reader isn't working properly, or maybe the people aren't trained adequately to use it.
Right. I got you. That makes sense. Now, on the credit card, I'm curious what the credit score is going to be to get that. It's Apple. Mm. Yeah. 850 credit score. I'll keep it down to a low amount of people getting in.
Well, and okay, so there's no fees, there's no late fees.
Right.
How in the heck are they going to penalize people for being late? Do they immediately put it on your credit score? Come on, Apple's not that nice. They're not going to be like, oh, it's okay, pay it back in 35 years. You know, there's got to be some sort of repercussion. They can't
just... Well, she says she's trying to make it easier for you, and she's trying to make it more friendly and more private for you.
But remember, it's a bank underwriting this. This is a Goldman Sachs card, really.
Yeah, Apple's cash is probably not really at risk here.
Is it magical though? That's what I want to know, because I didn't watch the keynote. Was it interesting?
You get it.
No, it was not magical at all. It was very anticlimactic in a lot of ways. A lot of that happened today. We'll talk about more of that in a second.
Yeah. You get a physical card with this. But
yeah, it's titanium, by the way.
It's made of titanium. And it doesn't have the numbers or anything printed on it.
The blank card has Apple on it.
Essentially.
With a chip. With a chip on it, basically.
But you can sign up straight away you can start using it as soon as you sign up through the wallet app. You don't have to wait for your card to arrive in the post.
Wow. Cool. They've been really good about taking advantage of impulsivity over the years.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And when you get it, you're pretty much stuck with it, because if you file too many claims that you want your money back, then, they start asking questions. What are I'm stuck on this. What are they going to do? Because there has to be some sort of repercussion if you're not paying your amount. Otherwise, everybody's going to owe Apple millions and millions. But if there's no repercussion, why bother paying?
And I think you're right. Scott, I think they actually can do an instant shutoff so fast, because it's all real time anyway for them. Like a lot of banks is not, it's real time, but it's like on a bank delay, like a business delay. And maybe they figure out that instead of having the business bank days, everything takes time. They can do it on the fly. Like if you're on the, your payment's due on the 25th and it's the 26th, they probably send you an alert or a push notification saying your payment's due. It's overdue one day. They'd probably give you a 5-6 day grace period, I would imagine. Yeah. Then they just shut the card off until you catch it back up.
And they also said, like, you can do things like you can go in and change your repayment, like change it to a weekly payment or something, and it'll automatically in real time, it'll readjust your interest rates right there.
That's crazy. A lot of this is simplicity. I mean, that's what kills me. A lot of this is very simple things that they've taken and using it. Because, like, I don't know if you guys ever heard of this. I just signed my son up for it. I have a 14-year-old son. It's called Greenlight. And basically, it's a debit card for a teenager that I can control through the app. Okay. I can move money to savings, then to giving and to earning and all kinds of stuff. And I was thinking Apple was about to head that direction with this, but they didn't.
Yeah, we have one over here, actually, called Revolut, which is similar.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
And it's, so there's a lot of, like you say, that's some space. Even things like we've all looked, come across statements and you can't figure out, because it has some weird code beside it and you're trying to remember what store is that or what service is that supposed to be.
654-00 Jacksonville 0057 Walls Greens.
Apple are saying that they are somehow identifying those transactions in English words, which will be nice. And you can look at through categories or by location and all these kinds of little things. So if you want to,
I do love the sorting. That's really cool.
Yeah. So I think, like, I'm about as excited as I could be about a credit card.
But it's titanium. Well,
there is one advantage that I see specifically for people who can't read their card numbers, and that is you don't have to memorize a bunch of numbers every time it's generated too, which is a great thing about Apple Pay. I mean, obviously, it's going to be available no matter what in Apple Pay. So you don't even have to know it to put it on your phone. It just works. Oh, man, that's an old one, huh? It just worked.
It's magical.
And they didn't even say that. You should have understood that.
No, they didn't say that. It just works. I'm going to do some research to find out what the credit score requirements are and what the requirements, because I would love just to have one. Like a titanium card would be kind of cool to have.
Yeah.
Just to have it. It's white, by the way. All white.
And again, they talked a lot about security. So no tracking, no selling your, transaction history to third parties. They said Apple don't even track what you're spending in terms of that. In that sense, they said it all happens on device. It's not going to their servers to do that categorization. It's all happening on device, they say. So if that's all true, yeah, that's cool. It's a bit of peace of mind for people as well that you're not being tracked is nice.
Now, is the card talking to the phone at all? Is there any kind of connection? And was there like some kind of a low Bluetooth connection between the card and the phone, the physical card and the phone?
I don't know what the point of the physical card is, because it actually, you can keep the card in your Apple Pay wallet and you can just use it as an Apple Pay as you would now.
It's interesting. Okay.
But you also have a physical card that you're allowed, that you can use either, I believe. That's the impression I got.
Okay.
Because they said you can sign up and start using it straight away,
Like they generate the number on their side and then they send you the physical card, but it's already activated.
Right. Yeah. It's actually
there's got to be a way to activate the physical card, because Otherwise, you're going to have people stealing Apple cards. I mean, I guess you could shut it down, or they could
Probably when you get it in the mail, you just scan to activate the physical. You probably do just a camera scan.
Is it using
NFC, I wonder?
That's what I'm thinking. Sorry. It's got to be used in something.
The physical card, I figured, was just a regular chip and pin, but maybe not.
One thing that I wonder is that currently the Apple financing options, if you want to finance, if you're making a big purchase through Apple and want to finance the purchase, it's through like Barclay card, I think. You make your own, at least in the States. I don't know about internationally, but I know in the States you open up a new Barclay card. Now I wonder, now that Apple has its own Apple card through Goldman Sachs, is that going to replace the existing system, or can you tie financing of Apple products into this card as opposed to like a Barclay card? I guess they didn't talk about that today, but I'd be interested to know.
We shall see.
I would imagine they would do that. I would imagine they would make the offers available on any card that represents them. Mm. Like the special 18-month financing or 24-month 0% that they do on the Barclay. I would imagine the Apple card would have some, or they might have different offers. Like I know like Best Buy has two different cards and through two different banks. And they do something very similar to that too, where sometimes you have a 6 month on one card or 18 on another, a different card at different times. Mm. So I would imagine it'd be kind of weird to walk in and go, oh, I got my Apple credit card, but I can't get 0% interest. What? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's how they're making money. Back to Scott's inquiry.
I don't think I caught a launch date for this one, but
May. I think it was May.
Oh, May. I think you're right. Yeah. US.
Summer. They said May for the TV channels, summer for the card, and fall for the other things.
Yeah. Okay. So do you guys reckon you're going to have a look? Maybe get one of these? Or
I'm thinking about it. Got to do some research.
I'm thinking about it, but man, how many credit cards do I need? How many accounts do I need to have, really?
Especially to keep up with.
Everybody wants me to have more, of course, but the more cards you add, the more accounts you have, the more complicated it gets, So I might do it, but I'm going to have to look at shutting something else down, because for me, I can only manage so many things at a time. And that's the last thing I want to do, is have so many accounts that I can't keep track. Maybe I'm showing my financial incompetency, but I'm sure it's not a unique problem to me.
No, I feel I have a debit card and a credit card, and that's all. I don't need any more. So,
I'll look at it, but I'm in no rush to get a new, different credit card than what I have.
Fair enough.
I mean, the daily thing, the ease of the use would probably be my big thing, but I mean, I have a couple of Capital One cards, and I find their app to be totally acceptable. I love their app.
Yeah, I have a Discover.
Just having it into the Apple construct would probably be some benefit to me.
Yeah, cool.
Well, and that's the other question too: is do you want to commit to Apple in that sort of way? I mean, I'm sure they're going to have a way to interface it with Android if you ever decide to go that route, or if Windows, Microsoft ever tries again with Windows Phone, now that they have somewhat more of a focus on accessibility. I say somewhat because, well, look at Skype 8.0 on the Mac. how committed to Apple do you want to be? You got to know that it's going to be harder to work with Apple Pay on, say, Samsung, who have their own pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want that kind of commitment?
Well, it's one of the reasons Apple are making these products, these services, I guess, isn't it? It's to give you.
It's to bring you into the family.
Into the family and make it harder to leave, I think, as well.
Yeah.
They
build the wall.
You can look at the Samsung S10 and go, God, that's a lovely phone. I'd love to try that out. And then you go, oh, but I've got Apple Music and I've got this and I've got that, maybe it's more hassle than it's worth,
They're that's quickly becoming the digital hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
The next service they spoke about was probably the one that's going to be of least interest to us and our listeners, was Apple Arcade, which is a gaming platform, because I suspect there's not going to be a whole lot of games in there that are going to be voiceover accessible, if any at all. It's a cool idea, I think, though. So it's at launch got over 100 titles. These will be, on a subscription basis. So rather than paying X amount for each game or doing a lot of in-app purchasing and all that stuff, you just pay your subscription and then there's nothing beyond that in terms of payments.
But to me, this is just like Xbox's Game Pass. Same concept in EA's Game Pass. Yep. Very, very similar. I mean, it's not a new concept. Just games you never heard of that you get to subscribe to.
Yeah. But gaming, you know, it's huge on iPhone. It's a lot of people playing games.
But is it games that are already playing on other platforms? Like my son plays Fortnite on Xbox, Windows PC, and his phone. Fair. I mean, that's obviously, is it cross platforms that they're playing, or they're playing games that like this will only be exclusive to Apple, according to what I was understanding.
They did mention exclusivity, yeah.
And I wouldn't necessarily assume that they won't be accessible. I mean, if you look at some of the platforms, you know, like the Madden football game, you know, they're doing things to help people with the controller anyway, where there's certain kinds of vibrations and there's stereo sounds, you can kind of figure out where you're at. I wouldn't necessarily assume that there is no accessibility here. I would like to see them take it to the next level after they fix my bugs in iOS 12. Thank you.
My experience of games is that even the menus and stuff don't work with VoiceOver generally, so I can't even get started, you know?
So why not have something like, isn't there some like blind, what's it called? Blindfold audio games. Some of these companies that are trying to do audio games for the blind. I wonder if we could ever get them to go in with Apple on this to have their games available through the system, make it easier and help them as developers out money wise.
Hopefully.
And that'd be interesting. I wonder if they're focusing on paid games more to increase their visibility, because their concerns about the long-term health of the freemium model, where you sort of get the game, you download the game for free, and then you unlock levels with in-app purchases. And I'm wondering, you know, over time, if people will just get tired of that, stop, and developers won't make as much money, and the business will ultimately falter in that.
Well, think about Fortnite. I mean, it did $2.1 billion last year, and it's a free game. $2.1 billion, by the way, the B. It's a free game with an F.
How does it earn its money?
And this was the new one, Apex, that's out. That's also a free one from EA. Yeah, but it's, you know, you buy levels, you pay levels, you buy skins, you buy t-shirts, okay, you buy, yeah. it's crazy.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's not really for those kind of games. I think this is probably more aimed for kind of indie developers who find it hard to get their games out there and noticed, and getting people to download them for money is quite difficult for those kind of indie developers. So I suspect
I wonder if you can buy them individually still, even though they have them in a package price. I wonder if you just like a certain game and you don't want to do them monthly. I wonder if you can still buy it directly.
I wondered that myself, yeah. It's going to be a cross-platform and, well, cross-Apple platform. So iPhone, iPad, right. Apple TV, and Mac all going to be supported. They said it'll come out in the autumn or the fall, if you prefer. No details of prices yet, though. So who knows? Is it going to be $9.99 again a month, or is it going to be a bit less? Who knows?
By the way, is this a new thing for Apple? Because I don't remember them in the past announcing products and making the availability 6 months and down the road. It used to be like maybe a week or two. Y'all noticed that too over the last couple of events?
Last few years, yeah. Like literally 2 or 3 years. I think Apple Watch, they did a kind of a preview thing, didn't they?
I know like on the Apple, when the 10 came out, they did the 8 first. And then
at least that was only a month gap though, but a month and a half,
yeah. Something like that.
This kind of stuff, yeah. Here's this great stuff we want to tell you about, but you can't get it for those 6 months. It's something they've been doing more, but I don't like it. I prefer them to tell me about it when I can get it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because you can't give details. You don't know how much it's going to cost. I mean, yeah. I agree with you. I think it's just, to me, in this generation we live in, the now generation, so to speak, we're used to making stuff available. That's why they don't talk about it a lot of times until it is ready to come out or almost ready to come out. Yeah. This is not almost, by the way. A half a year is not almost.
Yeah, exactly. I think like maybe they feel like they want to fill a bit of space in this time of year when they've nothing else, because like the later part of the year they've got the iPhone events and all that, but they're gonna have to remind us all about them then.
a lot happens in 6 months.
Yeah.
It actually gets nice in Ireland for a couple of weeks in 6 months with nice sunshine.
Let's hope it doesn't go the way of air power.
Oh good god, yeah. Surely they couldn't make that mistake again. Like
I would hope not.
At least a technical problem can't shouldn't be able to stop the services.
They're still coming out, I believe. I just believe.
This one will be very much international. 150 countries, they said, plus. So, but as I said, no price yet. So watch this space. And the one that's been talked about the most, probably in the recent months, years, is it now? We've been hearing about TV and Apple TV service. We finally got something concrete from Apple today around that, and that was the one more thing today, the big announcement. There was kind of two parts to this, I guess. There's the kind of third party content element of it, and then there's Apple's original content element. So you guys, you have the TV app already for the last year, 2 years maybe. It's not in all countries. We still have the old videos app here, but they said pretty much everybody is getting the new TV app now come May, I believe.
I personally don't like the one they currently have. I think it's very convoluted, confusing at times. It's not a fun experience, I don't think.
Okay, well, hopefully this rewrite will hopefully be easier to use and more simplified. Because, yeah, that's the problem with these things. When you try to aggregate a lot of things into one, pull a lot of different services into one, sometimes you could overcomplicate it, maybe. I can see how it's kind of going to be difficult, but...
Well, see, Netflix is not involved in it.
I took note of that as well, because they mentioned a lot of people, but they didn't mention Netflix.
Netflix is not, even from my understanding on the visual side, there was no screenshots for them or anything. They were not even... It's like they don't exist.
Yeah.
But they're on the same box, but they don't exist.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly.
There's no normal way between these two.
They're the elephant in the room, all right. But because I think... Was Prime mentioned? I think it might have been mentioned. Well, it's one of the people on stage mentioned having a Prime subscription, so I assume she wouldn't have done that.
I think Amazon's part of it. I know, like, a lot of the streaming services, like, here in America, like, was with
Hulu and,
like, Vudu, Hulu. What's the other one? There's several other ones.
Prime, Netflix. Although Netflix doesn't...
That's right. They're not,
we're just saying, yeah, Netflix
available. They're not
Prime,
involved.
Maybe.
And then
There's several other ones out there, I know, like, that are available, that are these TV, like, streaming packages you can buy. And then, of course, they have, like, the big networks, like your HBO, Showtime, Stars, that you can subscribe to separately also.
And then, don't know if they mentioned any particular providers, but it looks like if you have a cable subscription, now I don't know if that includes Comcast or not, or if it includes Dish or DirecTV or which providers are included, but some of them, it looks like, will be Charter, I think, was mentioned. So
I know Spectrum was mentioned also.
Spectrum, maybe it was mentioned, sorry. Yeah. So the likes of those will be, if you have subscriptions with those companies, they'll pull into the app as well.
Now, alongside Comcast, and I've had problems, like, you know, the one login screen doesn't seem to work right. They'll come back and say, yes, we know you have Comcast Xfinity, but then they'll come back and go, this service is not available at this time.
Oh.
Isn't that what happens when you call Comcast customer service?
Yeah, pretty much. But hey, they care. 30 money, of course they do. Money back guarantee.
They're like Fox News. They're fair and balanced.
Well, they never claim to be fair and balanced on Comcast. We'll give you something.
But it does sound like theoretically a good idea. Like, that'll pull everything, you know, whether it is your cable subscription, your streaming services subscriptions, and stuff you've purchased or rented from iTunes or what have you as well, from Apple directly, will all pull in together into this one app. They like mentioned a
dashboard,
basically.
Yeah, dashboard type thing. Love the fact is that, like, Movies Anywhere, which is a thing here in the US, which is so nice, because I bought movies on Prime. I bought them through several different ones, like Vudu and other streaming services that actually now combine. They show up. Even Xfinity. I mean, my son, I said, you can rent a certain movie. He ended up buying it. I was not happy. But the point is, now the movie's available across the platforms, which is so nice. That'll also be in this TV app.
Yeah. And then, of course, there was Apple Channels, or Apple TV Channels, which will be coming out in, I believe, May. So they put a screen up with a lot of logos, so I have no idea which channels are included in this. HBO was mentioned, in Showtime, like you said, and stuff. So you can subscribe. Yeah. So you can subscribe to these channels through, I think, ESPN maybe as well, through
CBS All Access was also mentioned.
Cool. So you can subscribe to these through this app, essentially, through Apple. You can subscribe to these. So if you don't want to go to a Comcast or a DirecTV or whoever and get a full cable subscription, but you do want HBO or CBC or what have you, you can go and download, you can subscribe to them individually. And assumably Apple takes their cut as well.
But they're a kind, gentler Apple.
So it's kind of, it's funny because like we're all, I hear a lot about, you know, cable cutting, especially in the States, I think more so than in Europe, actually, cable cutting has become a big thing. But by the time you subscribe to all the different channels and services that you want, you probably spend as much as you would have on a cable bundle, would you? Is that fair to say?
It seems like it. I mean, I've looked at cutting the cord and I went back and figured, I think I'd save about $25. But see, the difference is, here's the trick to it, especially when you're on Comcast, is that if you do the other services and you don't do the bundle services like I'm doing, you don't get unlimited internet. You get a one terabyte per month cap. And with my son who streams and we watch 4K movies, my wife, that cap comes really quick. And I think, like, for example, 1.3 terabytes we streamed in January, that would have cost another actually $40-$50 if I didn't have the unlimited part.
Okay. That's crazy. There's no such thing as limited internet over here anymore.
Well, you pay for it here. For it costs a little extra.
You have to have unlimited. That's crazy. It did imply that this will be a worldwide service, although the presentation was quite US-centric, but hopefully there will be an international aspect to it, and at least the app will be there. So I could potentially see myself, if it's a good app, I could see myself using it, maybe because I have, if services that I use are in there, like I am a Prime user, but so we'll see if some of our local ones are integrated. The other big part of it then, and we got a series of celebrity guests to tell us about Apple's original content called Apple TV Plus. So the Plus is the moniker they're going with now on for all their stuff, for their services. So again, they didn't give us price yet. And again, it's going to be out this autumn or fall. And we'll obviously integrate into this new Apple TV. There was one show called C, I believe was the name of the show. Did anyone notice that one? The future dystopia where the 1 or 2 million survivors of whatever has happened are all blind is the impression I got from that show. Did anyone spot that one?
Yes, a virus, and then any survivors were without sight. That's the gist that they described.
Yeah.
Maybe then they'll get described programming audio description on their events.
That's it. Because these guys were coming up on stage, and I was like, "Who's that?" I now know that J.J. Abrams was up on stage. Steven Spielberg was up on stage. I did recognize Jennifer Aniston. She was with
Kumail Nanjiani, Oprah Winfrey,
and Oprah obviously was recognizable.
See, I admit I cheated a little bit. I listened to Twit Live because he actually commentates, but he also at the same time tells you what's happening on the screen.
Yeah.
So I kind of cheated that way. That's why I know a little bit more probably than I normally would.
That's a good plan, actually. I should do that.
Yeah, it just makes it fun because then you get to hear his commentary. But at the same time, he'll say like, J.J. Abrams is on the stage now.
Is it Leo that does it? Leo Laporte? Or?
Yes, that's Leo Laporte's thing. Yeah. Twit Live. I do it actually through my Echo, believe it or not.
Oh, cool.
It's a nice gift. So I had it playing through the whole house. So when I was walking around, I can still hear what's going on, which is really nice.
Hmm. Yeah. It's really hard to make a call on this, isn't it? Because they showcase 4 to 5 shows, which all sound pretty interesting, to be fair. But, you know, we don't know how much it's going to cost, how much content there's actually going to be. So,
well, here's the problem. They have a challenge against them because Netflix got started. And this is what they're, compete with Netflix and Prime. Prime, like I said, you pay your monthly or yearly fee for Prime, and the movies and everything are thrown in. All the Prime originals, they're thrown in. They're not extra on top of what you're already doing. Mm. Netflix start off by having pretty much an on-demand rerun network. Then they started adding originals, but they've gotten their originals up so good. It was a very slow process. What does Apple offer? I mean, are you going to pay $10 a month for 5 originals that you have no clue if you like them or not?
Exactly. Yeah. Because Netflix, Netflix is like, it started off with all the kind of the third party stuff. And then I think House of Cards was when they exploded, when they
morphed into it. Yeah.
when the original stuff, but yeah, like you say, it's...
And then of course, you know, what's the Stranger Things blew up also, which is another huge one, and they've had other success. They've had a lot of failures too, don't get me wrong. I just like 40 some shows, probably half of them died.
Yeah, but there's like dozens of new shows from Netflix every month, it seems now. So
it does seem like it does. Now, and here's another question: are they going to follow the Netflix model and release them all at once, or are they going to make you watch week to week, which is what Hulu did this past summer with Castle Rock, the Stephen King deal? They made you watch like traditional television.
Netflix have done that once or twice, but usually they do it all in one go, but occasionally they
So what would Apple decide to do? That'd be interesting, what their model is.
Yeah. And something I was hoping we would know about, but we don't know yet, is audio description. Are they going to make a commitment to, like Netflix have, to have audio description on all original content? I would hope so.
Good question. Good question. The show that I actually did want to see is Morning Show with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon and Steve Carell. I thought that
sounds good. That sounded good to me too.
And I wonder. It's a pity we didn't get any of the idea of pricing. Like, will they bundle, you know, if you have an Apple Music subscription, you know, will you get a better price on your TV subscription or as a bundle or that kind of thing? Like you said,
to me, that makes sense. I mean, if you would include it into the Apple TV, maybe even rename it to Apple Media subscription or Apple Entertainment subscription, where you get the music and the video. I think that makes more sense to me. I mean, I can see the value at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, offer all of them for, you can have one of these subscriptions for 10 a month, or you can have them all for 20 a month, you know, and then that way you've got your news, your.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Even
TV
the news.
Shows, your music. Right.
And maybe it's called Apple Entertainment. That's pretty much Apple Unlimited or something like that. They love the plus stuff.
Yeah. Apple Entertainment Plus. Yeah, I could see them going that way. Hopefully they will. It's funny because it's been so much talk about this TV, and then
it was a letdown.
They announced it, but they didn't give us the whole picture.
I thought it was a letdown. I thought it was, this is something this is the kind of stuff people want to see now when you start and they didn't even run any clips about it, except for like a little montage, which you couldn't tell anything going on because there's so much music underneath it. But yeah, they didn't run you think they would run a little like one scene.
I was expecting a couple of big blockbuster trailers, actually. Like, you know.
In a word.
Yeah.
We're Apple.
Yeah. I really was expecting a couple of big trailers for these shows. So it seems like none of them are quite ready yet, which is why we're not getting them until.
Oddly preliminary.
Yeah.
I've been working on these for over a year. And that's what, they signed the Morning Show, like Reese and Jennifer was signed like over a year ago.
So, Oprah, too.
Long to put it out. Yeah, Oprah, too. That's a good point.
She was kind of like their keynote speaker, wasn't she?
I will say that I did find it interesting, the Sarah Bareilles show, the story that she's the show based off some of her personal stories, not really about her per se, but with J.J. Abrams. I thought that was really good. I think the song was really good, too. I actually enjoyed the song.
Yeah. I don't actually know her previously, but.
She had a few big songs over here. She's piano folk kind of driven pop music.
Yeah, cool. No, I have to say, some of the shows do look interesting. It's just it's a wait and see how much content there is and if it's value for money, really.
The Steven Spielberg is probably the least interesting one to me. I don't know why. It just did not seem interesting.
I can't remember. Yeah.
It was about the greatest stories or greatest history or something like that.
Yeah.
The thing was based off of 80s. Amazing stories. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wasn't that interesting?
It could be quite... big budget. I'd imagine it's going to be quite visually spectacular.
Probably so.
It could be kind of that type of show. Do you know what I mean? Where it's almost the visuals or what the show is spectacular for. So we'll see. Any final thoughts, guys, on the TV service or any of the other?
Sounds like Scott is waiting on the edge of his seat for it.
Yeah.
With popcorn in hand.
Can I throw popcorn at the others here? I mean, sure. I need a pretty heavy arm. Yeah. Come on. If it's Apple, it's magical.
Tyler, are you as enchanted as Scott?
I am bursting at the seams with enthusiasm for this TV service. I don't think that's something I would... I have Spectrum. I have Netflix. I'd have to see the the content value, you know, I don't know if there'd be some kind of trial or something to assess the content value of it once the shows actually debut.
Sure, there will.
For me, I think what would be most interesting would be maybe see the morning show and us. But again, it's things can look good from a distance, but then not be good, and vice versa.
How many episodes? We're talking like, I mean, 7 episodes a season. I mean, what's, I mean, are we short seasons, long seasons? I mean, that's,
yeah, it's probably, there's still probably more questions to answer yeah, at this point. So, it's not something I would rush to get. You know,
I'll definitely check it out. As someone who works in the industry, I'm very interested to see how this all plays out, because I think it's an industry that's in kind of in flux at the moment. So I think it's,
well, remember, Steven Spielberg said himself that he said that Netflix should never ever get it nominated for a, you know, a Oscar or anything, because it's not in the movie. That's why the Netflix course starts releasing in the movie theaters, which is hilarious.
That's why they put Roma into the theaters at the same time. Yeah.
Very smart on their part. I mean, I get what they're trying to do. And I think Amazon's trying to do the same thing. There's a lot of competition out there right now.
Well, the company I work for, Sky, do the same. Now we've put a few couple of movies in.
Like Apple might be a little late to the party.
Yeah.
Well, when is Apple not late to the party?
I mean, that's
the thing. They kind of come.
Well, they pride themselves on being late but best. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they've been trying to crack the TV nut for a few years now, you know. So I'm just curious to see now, is this, have they got it this time, you know?
Well, they are smart in one way, I will tell you that. I think we're back to the TV app for a second. The one thing they are doing smart is allowing it to be part of the system for like Sony, Samsung, LG, Vizio here, and probably some other brands that'll probably, I think TLC, I saw mentioned, or TCL was mentioned, is another brand that might be.
It's on Roku boxes and Amazon Fire Stick as well.
That was the oddest.
Yeah,
but it makes sense because, you know, Amazon's on Apple TV. Yep. Why not? I mean, it makes sense. They're doing that great cohesive cross-platform thing.
Yeah.
So I think that will help the app a little bit if they can get it outside. They need to make the app. They mentioned about being available on Android. I can't remember. The TV app. I thought they said something.
I don't know. It would be strange if they weren't.
From what I read on Twitter, which is pretty much all I use because I literally ran from working with a client to come here, but they did mention Samsung specifically in some of those TVs.
That was TVs,
I would think, but I didn't see anything in direct reference to Android.
Yeah,
no,
me
but
neither.
I mean, if you're gonna run a platform like that, you have to be compatible. I think
Apple Music is. I mean, they got smart about Apple Music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I give them credit for that. It's like iTunes on the Windows platform back in the day.
Yeah,
took him a while.
Speaking of iTunes, is totally unrelated, but I think at some point they got to make some choices, some tough choices about that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, let's not open that kind of worms. yeah, I think that just about sums us up, guys. So we had a busy week, lots of hardware. We're all buying new iPads and AirPods, no doubt. Then we had, obviously, these new services. So a lot of wait and see, I think it's fair to say. So we'll check back in 6 months and see who's decided to give Apple TV Plus or Apple News or anything like that a go. So, yeah. Thanks, guys, for joining me. Scott, really appreciate you making it on a busy work day.
Well, thanks for having me and putting up with my stupid jokes. I know that's a chore. And look forward to another one. Thanks for hosting, Dave.
Cheers, Scott. Your stupid jokes make the show, so it's quite all right.
It must have been a pretty stupid podcast, then.
Tyler, thanks again for joining us, as you always.
Thanks for having me.
And Tate, it's great to have you on, and great to have a Club Apple Viz member on the show.
Absolutely. And I encourage anybody else to go and be part of the Apple Viz Club. I thought it was a really good thing to do because, again, you guys do a lot. That you guys don't get recognized for. You also do a lot of labor of love by a lot of the reviews, the writing the articles. Whenever a new version of software comes out, I go over to it and check it out and make sure what the updates are. And as Scott has eloquently said, that 12.2 has not solved any problems for us, but at least I know now before I download it. And that's what you guys are a great resource for the average, you know, Apple user. So I appreciate that, and I want to get back into that. So thank you. And thank you for having me.
Thanks for the kind words. And yeah, do check out appleviz.com for information about those software updates. iOS 12.2 and watchOS 5.2 are both released today, March 25th. So possibly yesterday by the time you're hearing this. So enjoy those. Enjoy the new services. And thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleViz Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.appleviz.com. Follow us on Twitter @AppleViz and like us on Facebook.